Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. Jonathan Birdsong will be joining us momentarily. It is Wednesday, September 18th. We're the 18th of September now. Last night, myself and Jonathan had a Facebook Live video out last night for the crossover show. We covered a lot of the NFL. We covered a lot of the college football scene. So we probably won't hit all of those tonight. If you do want to catch that, you can catch that on the Crossroads Sports Facebook page anytime there. But we'll recap some of the hit and misses since yesterday has gone on. We'll cover some of the football news and notes that's came. But last night we covered a lot of college football in the NFL. So if you missed any of that, you want to see it, be sure to check that out on the Facebook page. Jonathan, my man, how are you?
Man, Brandon Reif, it's good to be back, man. Back like I never left.
Yeah, less than 24 hours later, we're back at it in the saddle again. We can dive right in. We've got a special interview this evening at 7 o'clock with a columnist with Indianapolis Recorder, Tyler Fenwick. I said it right this time, right? Yeah. So we got him on at 7. We're going to hit the Major League Baseball scene with him. We're going to talk some Big Ten football. The off season. So, John, we got our man on right now. If you want to, not him, but we have our other regular caller. We've got. If we want to take him right now, starting the day off,
in,
we
man.
Might as well.
It's all good. Yeah, kick it off right.
Sweet Lou, how are we?
Thanks, fellas. I appreciate that. Thanks.
How are you, man? You good? Right. You have a good weekend?
It all depends on who you ask. Of like sports fan wise, my Cowboys are great. My Jets, no.
Yeah, that Lou, talk me about this Jets team, man. How can it go that bad real quick with obviously with Mono Denard out, Sam Denard, but
and then your number two quarterback goes out for the season with the injury, so now you got to rely on number three.
Yeah, but here you know what I'm hearing though. I have heard some similarities that and take it with you wish. This guy and Tom Brady both were drafted in the sixth round at the same number of pick. Both of them are coming in as a backup quarterback. Both of them. There's like three or four different things that somebody put on Twitter earlier today saying this could be the next Brady. So Jets fans need to relax a little bit.
Whoa. There's only one Brady, man. It's tough to compare. I mean, Brady hasn't even retired yet, so we can't compare yet.
What was your thoughts on Le'Veon Bell? Because I feel like that was your only offense.
Yeah. And what has he done for us so far? Nothing.
How? Well, he hasn't complained yet, so there's that.
Not yet.
So you can't fault that. So what do you got, Lou? What's on your docket this evening?
Well, of course, on the brighter side, you know, the Yankees are looking to wrap up the division tonight when they play the Angels. So.
Yep.
That's a plus.
CC Sabathia is on the mound. Yep, CC is on the mound tonight. And they got Giancarlo Stanton back. So that's going to be good for the Yankees, the Bronx Bombers. The problem is the last three games I've taken, I've told Jonathan this, the last three times I've taken the Yankees, they have screwed me. So I've lost money last three times. So let's hope it does not happen tonight. They just go ahead and clinch and it's over with.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter because we got the division wrapped up anyway, so you know it's not going to kill us.
Mm-hmm. Looking good for the postseason because you guys right now would be playing Yankees. They would be playing. I had this written down. I don't even know who they'd be matched up with now.
Think Twins.
Yeah, it's Yankees Twins. I think it'd be a good series. I think everybody just wants to go ahead and get to the Astros Yankees again. And that should be a great series.
Is that who the Yankees probably most fear going into the postseason?
Yes.
That particular matchup?
Well, that kind of fears me as well because the Twins always find a way to beat us, especially on their home turf. So this does worry me a little bit if we do have to play the Twins.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's one question we're going to ask Tyler Fenwick when we have him on later in our show. Curious of yours. What my question, Lou, is the Yankees pitching beginning of the season and throughout the summer, everybody and it was that the bullpen was really good, really good. The Yankees have lost some bad games in the last since August, I guess, really. They're just bad
injuries
games.
Have caught up with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is there a way they can right that ship in that bullpen as we approach October baseball?
Well, look, I mean, the injuries have finally caught up with them. I think that's playing a big role now. You know, maybe it wasn't so much, you know, in the beginning of the season, but now that, you know, playoffs are looming and everything, we know all the good health we can get. But I think it's taking its toll on us now, so we just got to stay healthy.
Okay. You have any predictions for MVPs or Cy Youngs?
Well,
I'll tell you
one thing.
For the
National League, I think we got one, that Mets sensation that's came in, Alonso.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's definitely, no matter what, unanimous rookie of the year, for sure. And I'm waiting for that game to go final. They just it's a tie game right
four,
now, it looks
four
like.
Right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I took the Mets in this game, so I need them to cover.
You did.
Yep. So, what else you got, Lou?
And,
hockey season starting up.
And if you really want a boring game, well, there's one between let me see where it is now. Yeah. Kansas City and Oakland, bottom 10, no score. Ugh.
Mm. Pitching
boring.
Oakland needs
like
it.
That,
yeah.
If you like that kind of stuff, okay, but I personally prefer, you know, more of a hitter's game.
Well, if you had the under, our under bettors probably loved it very much so.
It doesn't say much for, you know, your offense.
Yeah, exactly. What else you got?
I mean, because not for nothing, you know, I'm a fan of more of offense-type games. Who wants to see a nothing-nothing game in the 13th inning?
Hey, here's my question. I had it perfectly written down just for you.
Yes.
What's up with all these Giant fans now? Are they just throw Eli Manning to the side, call him a piece of trash, and just throw him to the side now?
Well, when you're 0-2 and you're an aging quarterback, you know, I think maybe time is right to do make a change. Do I think it's the last time he's going to be in a Giants uniform this season? No. No, I don't. I mean, because, you know, this is going to be his last year in a Giants uniform, definitely, probably even as an NFL player. And I think they'll give him a chance. But right now, I think they just want to concentrate on the future of the the Giants quarterback, and they want to give Jones a chance.
Yeah, I agree. I think no fault of Eli here is the fact that they haven't really surrounded him with much talent besides Saquon Barkley. I watched some of the game the other day, and my God, there's drop passes by everybody. You know, I mean, still they don't have their number one wide receiver currently is suspended still, Golden Tate. So
yes.
I don't think that's as much fault to Eli because he's dealing with his best what he has with him. I know last year the issue was the offensive line blocking most of the time for him. So I do think, like you said, I don't think it's the last time we see Eli. I think week six, week seven, something, Daniel Jones is going to get hurt somehow.
I'm not going to say what week, but we will see him again before the year's out. I can't say when, though, but he will be back.
John wants him here in Indianapolis, if that makes anything crazy.
I'll send a plane out for you.
John, you got any anything for Sweet Lou? John must not be there.
Going twice, no sale.
No, I'm still here. He kind of touched base on what I kind of wanted to hear, but like what the East Coast mindset was on Eli Manning, and then what do you think about the organization though? Like was that a good deal in bringing in Jones so early when they also had other needs? They could have got Jones anywhere else. They could have got Jones level talent anywhere else in this particular draft and kind of build up the team.
They could have, but like I said, you know, they want to look to the future. So
the future, they got to figure. They need to figure out the rest of their pieces, other teams besides quarterback.
But
I mean, they traded their defensive guys too last year.
Yeah.
So, all right, Lou, want to give us a plug?
Yeah, but before I say anything, you know, you didn't know what to expect because he plays at Duke, and people don't really know much at all about Duke football. No offense, of course, but Duke is, you know, minor okay. league in football compared to basketball. So, anywho, yes, I'll mention my show here, and I hope you get a chance to call in because I can use all the help I can get. The show is called the Enhanced Sports Show. You guys are Eastern Time, right?
Yep.
That's correct.
Good. Okay. That helps a lot. 6:08 p.m. Eastern Time. The number is 712-775-7035. The PIN number, it's changed now, 423-999-pound. But the main number and time are the same. Remember, press the pound sign, because if you don't get squat.
You don't get squat.
You don't.
Damn, there it is. All right, Sweet Lou, take care, my friend.
Thanks, fellas.
John, that was Sweet Lou. Sweet Lou, ball of energy today.
Man, he wants to get it in early, don't he?
I like it. Get it in, short and sweet.
Sweet.
Well, we hit him up for what he needed for the New York Jets. We got him for the Yankees, the Giants. We got that East Coast vibe with Sweet Lou, kind of what it's like out there.
Yeah, I like I said, man, I don't know. I'm not trying to dog Jones' talent. I just think the Giants could have got something a little bit better out of that pick to fill more needs for their team. If they kind of knew this was a good decision, like 2 weeks in, they already mentioned Eli Manning. You know what I mean? So you didn't even really give it you didn't give it a chance. But I mean, well, maybe they gave it a chance, but again, like kind of like you said, Brandon, what else is on the team besides Saquon Barkley? I know dead air, right?
Yeah.
We don't know. There's no standout defense. There's no necessarily standout offensive player other than Saquon. There's really no tight end of note. You know what I mean? Secondary is okay, but
the tight end they do, Evan Engram. Evan Ingram's a good tight end. He's top 10.
He wasn't in nobody. Wait a minute, Brandon. He wasn't even.
Yes, he was.
One of our guys. No way.
No. John. The only reason I say that, John, is because he's a top 10 fantasy tight end on fantasy football all season.
Okay.
He got drafted in the top 10 tight ends. The guy's got good talent. That's about the only pass catcher they have right now, besides Sterling Shepard, who was hurt himself, and Golden
Correct.
Tate suspended for 2 more weeks.
Right. Well, we all.
I just wanted to help you.
This.
I didn't want somebody to call in and start saying, "Well, what about Evan Engram?" So
fantasy is one thing. Putting W's in the win column is another. That's all I'm trying to correlate as far as what their team is, what they have on display out there on the field. Could have got more out of that pick. My personal opinion. But the other side of that, Brandon, is the ridiculous. It's like people actually thinking Eli Manning is not a Hall of Famer.
Uh-oh.
That's ridiculous. This guy's
won 2 Super Bowls. He's won two Super Bowls. He's the Patriot killer.
Yes, 2 Super Bowl MVPs, 4 times Pro Bowler, man. What else do you want? What else can you say is a Hall of Famer? I get it. If the measuring stick is Tom Brady, right, or anybody that's already in the Hall of Fame, Jerry Rice or Troy Aikman, just pick on quarterbacks here. We'll pick on Troy Aikman. Guess what? He doesn't have the passing records that Andrew Luck has. He just doesn't. Even with Andrew Luck being benched, even with Andrew Luck not necessarily being a starter when he first came out of college, if anybody remembers. Again, somebody pointed out an interesting factoid to me, Brandon. Like, they kind of opened my eyes. That's really good for anybody who can do that, right? Jim Plunkett, the old Raiders quarterback, is not in the Hall of Fame. He has just as a decorated resume as Andrew Luck, probably even more so. But I think that what you hit the nail on the head, Brandon. What team, led by whatever quarterback, right, has consistently beat a Belichick-led team? Period. I'm going to say to the office, but what team? And it's the New York Giants, led by Eli Manning.
Yep.
He's the only one to ever do it. And when it counted, like, I get that they went 8. I get they went 8-8. You know what I'm saying? Always kind of limped into the playoffs, but you know, all those kind of things are forgotten when you win a Super Bowl. When you get hot, real hot, and you go through the NFC and win a Super Bowl. So again, Eli Manning is definitely a Hall of Famer. I don't know why it's even like debatable.
Yep, I agree. I think Eli deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And if I'm going to sit there and put a measuring stick up as to putting some quarterbacks, see who deserves to get in, who doesn't, and this might ruffle some feathers up in Upper New York, but if Jim Kelly can get in for losing four Super Bowls, then I think Eli Manning can get in for winning two.
Oh, man, I love Jim Kelly.
I know. Everybody loves Jim, but he was a loser.
Oh, man.
He was on the field.
Getting to the Super Bowl is an accomplishment in itself. So.
Yeah, he couldn't get – and I love Jim Kelly, but let's look at the facts. He lost four Super Bowls. So,
yeah, he did.
They
did.
You know, and he still got in for that. So if he can get in for that, then Eli Manning winning two. And,
right.
You know, and let's be real, 8-8, yeah, getting in 8-8 and you get hot and you win it, you know. It's just it doesn't matter what your record is. When you go in the playoffs.
Who even remembers the 8 teams you lost to? All they remember is you won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's all they remember is that you won the Super Bowl. They don't even remember that the 8 teams you lost to. I'm sure we can Google it. I'm sure Wikipedia it. I'm sure somebody, football statistics has the 8 teams and like how bad they got beat by. But they won the Super Bowl, so it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Just like on the reverse side, with the New England Patriots go whatever they went, 15-1, and they lost the Super Bowl. That's what you remember is that they lost the Super Bowl, not that they went 15. That's an accomplishment to go 15-1. Are you kidding me? 14-2, whatever, 13. You know what I'm saying? That's an accomplishment. But to not win the Super Bowl, that's what ultimately what all football teams want to do at the end of the season. That's what matters. So
yeah,
if you win, again, I can't express it. I just thought it was a ridiculous question.
it definitely was. Swag Kelly was released today by the Indianapolis Colts. Most likely to end up being on the practice squad, but from the actual roster, he's been released. He served his 2-game suspension. So right now, you've got Jacoby Brissett and Brian Hoyer as your two quarterbacks on the team. I think you're fine with that. Swag did play well, but you know he'll probably end up being the practice squad, either him or Philip Walker.
Is it possible Swag ends up with another team, maybe, that there's a need of a quarterback, maybe? I don't know.
No,
I don't think.
No.
I don't think the quarterback situation in North Carolina is looking too good.
Uh-oh.
These days.
Well, I think it is.
What, North Carolina? You like Kyle Allen? I don't.
No, but Kyle Allen played decent ball last year. He started a few games last year, but they just drafted a rookie. They've got a good quarterback in there in Will Grier. Will Grier is third. Is right behind Kyle Allen. So West Virginia,
yeah.
Will Grier. So I think Grier will get his start before long.
He's a slinger,
so,
but we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, totally agree. The NFL came out today and admitted that they blew two false start calls late in the game on Jacoby Brissett.
Oh.
So, Colts fans. Titans fans not too happy with that. Colts getting the calls. So remember that now, Indianapolis, when there's a couple calls that don't go your way. Think back to this Tennessee game where you got the win because of those calls. So just a little check in there. John, I got two things for you, college basketball related. How about that? Basketball's not even started yet, but I got two things for you. Number one, Rick Pitino settled his lawsuit with the University of Louisville with the money, and the campus has changed the status of getting rid of Pitino from fired to resigned. So I guess that looks good now for Pitino's resume. I don't know.
Looks better for him trying to potentially get another job, which he, you know, so even in his advanced age and all the accomplishments that he's done, he still kind of wants to get back into college coaching. But this kind of clearing the path for him, I could not see a team not at least asking Pitino to come in.
Yeah, he just goes up I-65 to about Seymour area, and then he just cuts straight east. There's a team there in Bloomington that might need him.
Whoa! Not it won't be. It won't never be that team. No, it won't never be that team.
I know. I've heard Dockett say it enough, plenty of times. And then the feel-good story: Tony Bennett, national champion head coach Tony Bennett, Virginia Cavaliers, turns down an extension with Virginia because he wants to put that money towards his staff and the actual basketball program. John, you don't see that these days.
Virginia's got to compete. So, like, winning the national championship, man, I imagine he probably want to get there again or taste that, you know, that feeling again. And that takes work. That takes more than just, you know what I'm saying, how you got there the first time. You can't get, you know, you catch lightning in the bottle, you know what I'm saying, seemingly, with having the perfect players and the right players in the right system setting place. But you know what I'm saying, Tony Bennett's trying to keep it together because he's got to recruit and compete against Duke and North Carolina every year, not just the one year magic year that he didn't finally choke, right? But in all seriousness, man, like I told you, I mean that's a power move to where he's trying to keep his staff together and not have like other teams kind of, you know, pick off his tree, try to bring the Virginia way to their particular team. So kudos to Tony Bennett.
Okay. John, what do you got on Olympic basketball?
Man, it's a sad state of affairs, but it's getting a little bit better. If nobody's hurt yet. Steph Curry has committed. To a smaller degree, Damian Lillard has too, right? But two-time MVP of the league, you know what I'm saying, kind of the face of the league. You know what I'm saying? I think this league particularly has many faces, right? He's kind of stepped up and said that this is something that he desired to have on his resume. And if you think about some like the all-time greats, Brandon, Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, Shaquille O'Neal, Isaiah Thomas, all have NBA championships, and they all have gold medals. So, you know, for all the people who are critical, and I think we were critical. I was hopeful, right? I won't say I was critical. I was hopeful for the team that they put out there. But again, if countries are sending their best, and like basketball is now a worldwide, we know this. It's not even like you shouldn't even question. Basketball is a worldwide phenomenon where kids are playing basketball from here in the United States to Spain and all parts in between, and they're sending their best. Then we have to you know what I'm saying, match that effort and send our best. And Steph Curry is definitely one of the best, and for him and Damian Lillard to finally kind of see what. You know what I'm saying? What was on display for USA basketball. Hopefully there'll be some more. You know what I mean?
Klay Thompson, I think will join.
This is huge. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? If he heals off, you know what I mean? And that'll be, you know, because those guys, you know, I still give Steph a lot of heat, man, because sometimes he thinks like he's playing around too much out there. But I don't think this is a PR move in any, but it really matters imagination, Brandon. I think this is something that he actually really wants. So I think they're going to put he and whoever else kind of signs on is going to put max effort into and competing against it on the highest level.
Okay. Perfect. What else do you got, John?
That's kind of all. We talked about Eli, right? We talked about Steph. We talked about the Kyle Allen project in Carolina. NFL. Yeah, that's what I'm calling it, man.
I mean, we've hit a lot of stuff that I had on my list, and a lot of stuff we talked about last night, which people can still catch on the Facebook page. But if you want to call in before we have our guest on here at 7 o'clock East Coast time, number is 929-477-3331. Yep. That's 929-477-3331. So, I'm trying to think, John. I only had seven things on my list because of all we went through last night.
I did too, man. I kind of had a short list. I know we talked a lot last night. I think we had a good interaction with the folks that came on last night. I'm hoping that we could continue to do more crossovers. You know what I'm saying, in the future. That one last night was kind of impromptu. I know everybody doesn't know this, but it was kind of impromptu. Well, I think we talked about it, but I didn't think we talked about it, but.
Right. Here we go. I got a few topics, not related to sports, but kind of sports entertainment. Brock Lesnar going over to SmackDown, going to fight Kofi on the first SmackDown on Fox.
Yeah, they got to have a big name come over. I wouldn't bet on wrestling in any brain realm of imagination. But yeah, he's probably going to get the title because he's the biggest face that they can put out there, you know what I'm saying, the premiere. Brock Lesnar is all going to be on Fox. So, I think it'll be a good match. Kofi always puts on good matches, so hopefully it's just not a squash.
Are we going to AEW?
It's coming. It's coming to Indianapolis, isn't it?
It is coming to Indy.
I got to see the storylines of what they're going to do. You know what I'm saying? I just can't go watch a wrestling. I mean,
you wouldn't go and just see the Hall of Famer?
Yeah,
the Ayatollah of rock and roller?
He's the best wrestler from Canada ever.
Whoa. Come on now. We're not going to start this tonight.
He's the best wrestler ever from Canada. Chris
Second
Jericho,
best.
Better than Bret Hart. Better than Bret Hart. Better than Jock. He's better than Jacques Rougeau. He's better
than
Rougeau's
brother. You're trying to fire me up before our guest gets on, and it ain't going to happen.
He's better than,
not gonna
he's
let
better
it.
Than Owen. He's better than Owen Hart. You know what I'm saying? Jim Brown
Hart. Oh, yeah,
Hart.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
But Chris Jericho, man, Chris Jericho's the AEW champion. He's coming to Indianapolis.
Did you see the video I tagged you in today on Facebook with Bret Hart?
Man,
they interviewed everybody 20 years later or 22 years later.
Is he going to milk this? How long is he going to milk this?
It wasn't his doing. Somebody asked him to do it.
That's the most excitement he's ever had in his career. He, you know how many times I watched him on the Saturday Night's Main Event wrestle the Barbarian? You know how many times I had to watch him wrestle the Warlord? You know how many times I had to wrestle? I had to watch him wrestle I'm trying to think who else, Max Moon or whoever else was during that. They was trying to get over during that time in WWE. I'm glad he got screwjobbed over. Shawn Michaels stood up there and lied to him. Shawn Michaels stood up there and lied to him to his face, talking about I had nothing to do with this. Shawn Michaels doing their well. Listen, anybody who knows they're going to be the champ knows they are going to what's going to happen, regardless. So, you know, it's a very interesting story if you've never heard it. You know what I mean, right? But I've heard it. I think I've heard it to an exhausting end. The Bret Hart story of like how he was his exit from WWE. Bret Hart was I will go critical on Bret Hart and like who he wrestled. But Bret Hart is a great wrestler who for a time was a flagship guy for the WWE, and his exit from said company was not the most pleasant exit of all. Not like,
right.
You know, some of the other wrestlers. So it is a good story in that regard because, again, all this, you know, it's crazy, Brandon. All the shows are predetermined, and the championship belongs to one man. But once they get the power of being the champs, they take it seriously. And they take it to heart. So this is kind of that story. Like I said, it is an epic story, man, because Bret Hart wrestled and performed rather, right, with a lot of respect and a lot of, you know what I'm saying, I want to say fanfare. He wasn't that guy. He was not a flat, but he's got the job done. And you kind of, you know what I'm saying, you kind of liked him, you know what I'm saying? He's a fan favorite for sure. But man, this story is gonna get milked for another 10 years. about him getting screw jobbed over.
Hey, are you okay with Baron Corbin, King of the Ring? You gotta put a bad guy in the role.
At this point, yeah, they've done so much to try to get Baron Corbin over, man. I don't know what else to do. They don't know what else to do. They like him. They see I can kind of see the potential. They just put him in the wrong gimmicks or with the wrong people.
Former Indianapolis Colt as well.
Is he?
Yeah, he played for the Indianapolis Colts for a season.
Man, if you blink, you missed it.
Yeah, he was. He went to the practice squad, back to the main roster, back to the practice squad. So, so there's that. What else do I have, John? Some of the games this week for college football. While we're waiting for Tyler to call in. Yeah. I was looking at some of the spreads. Indiana, 27.5 point favorite over UConn. Ohio State, favorite by 40 over Miami, Ohio. And then Ball State, 19 point underdogs against NC State. I think the Cards could make it close, right? NC State's not that good.
No, NC State, they don't have a reputation of being good. So yeah, but it's gonna be a kind of tough game for the Cards. It's a away game, kind of like out of their territory. You know what I mean? The travel matters. I don't like making excuses. They won't. I guarantee you that coach staff will not let that team have any excuses at all. But you know,
yeah.
Travel does matter. Travel does matter. You know what I'm saying?
I will tell you
I don't know. Are they gonna have a traveling Cardinal chirp like TCU did?
Probably not
for Purdue. That'd be great.
No, probably
that would
not.
Be great. Well, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Two quick games before we get Tyler on. Just smell like wins for me and for people to take them, and the lines don't make sense. Number one, the line, Florida, -13.5 against Tennessee. I know Tennessee's played really, really bad the first two games. Florida, though, is without their number one quarterback. It's a home game for them. 13.5 points are given up, almost two touchdowns against Tennessee. I think Tennessee keeps it close with it being an SEC rivalry game. And the last one, John, Notre Dame getting no respect We got them at 14-point underdog at Georgia. 14 points. They don't think they can cover that?
Hey, Reggie Sykes, King of Trolls, took Notre Dame.
Good Lord. All right, John, we've got our guest now. It's my pleasure to welcome us to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. Columnist for the Indianapolis Recorder, Tyler Fenwick. Tyler, how are you, my man?
I'm good, but I'm not a columnist. I'm a staff writer.
Staff writer. My apologies.
No, staff you're fine. Writer. Most people I work for the Indianapolis Stars, so this is improvement.
Perfect. John, do you want to do the kind of the opening thing for us?
Yeah, I'll do the kind of opening thing. Tyler, thanks again for coming on. Tyler works for the Indianapolis Recorder. Recorder's been in existence in the city of Indianapolis for over 124 years. I don't quote me on that one. I might be off by a year or so, but I know it's been for a very long time. They kind of reached out to us about doing some co-promotional sports, you know, sharing of ideas and whatnot. That resulted in Tyler Fenwick kind of coming on. Tyler Fenwick has. I'll let him tell you, but Tyler Fenwick definitely has a great sports background, either in baseball and football. And we're going to kind of I'm glad we got him on because we're going to kind of prick his brain tonight about this divisional race, and we're going to kind of pick his brain about what he thinks about his home. I know he's a fan of Michigan football, so a lot of things we're going to kind of cover tonight with Tyler. I can't wait. I know I'm rambling. This is what I do, Tyler. You have to excuse me. I'm excited to have you on. But before we get into like the particulars of like what we want to talk about, how did you start your employment with the Recorder first?
Yeah, so I went to IUPUI. I graduated in May of 2018, and then I went to Detroit for like 5 months or so to do a postgraduate internship with MLB.com, and I covered the Detroit Tigers when I was there, and then occasionally would cover whatever team was in town, you know, give that beat writer the series off because those baseball writers work insane hours. And so I came back to Indianapolis, and I knew I wanted to be in Indianapolis, whether I was working in journalism or not, and the Recorder had a job opening. And it was the kind of work that I wanted to do because I didn't want to feel like I was stuck in sports, and I wanted to have some freedom over the things that I wrote about, which I knew I would get at a smaller place like the Indianapolis Recorder. And so it worked perfectly, and I've been there for just coming up on a year now in October.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, Brandon, I would say let's just kind of dive right into it. Tyler, I'm gonna have to genuflect or bend out to some of you guys' knowledge as it pertains to Major League Baseball. I have dusted off my old glove and oiled it up nice and shiny and good, and I've watched a couple games and I've definitely been in tune to highlights, and I've been researching stats all the past week and a half. Stumbling over words.
Do you want me to start it, John?
Well, no. Actually, I want to know since my guy's out, Mike Trout's out, right?
Yeah.
Trout's out for the end of the season, right? So who's in lead for the American League MVP?
Damn. I mean.
Or do they give it to him?
I think he still gets it.
I think he still gets it. Like, Mike Trout is a guy who's. If this was somebody else who had this kind of season, but they weren't solidified the way Mike Trout is, then we can go down the list. But because Mike Trout is who he is, and he played up until like September 7th, I think, and had, you know, one of his best seasons ever, which says a lot to a guy like Mike Trout. I don't see a reason to like move on from him in the MVP race, and it's sort of the same. We could have the same conversation with Christian Yelich with the Brewers. I mean, done for the season, but like had such a good season that you can at least make an argument that he still deserves it. Mike Trout more so, I think, than Christian Yelich. So I'm all in with Mike Trout. I think, you know, he's the guy who deserves the MVP.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there, Tyler. I think Trout definitely. I think Yelich, the injury obviously would not have happened or would have it even later. I think he had a great shot of winning it. I think Cody Bellinger, you know, I mean, the Dodgers obviously are amazing this year once again. I think Bellinger was probably my leading candidate. And sneakily, I personally would put Pete Alonso up there as well. I want him to. I think he should win Rookie of the Year and NL MVP. I think he meant most to his franchise as for the Mets than what, to me, Cody Bellinger does for the Dodgers. Because Dodgers have a lot of other up and stars, and they've been good for so long. But the Mets, they had a kind of a miracle run this year nobody expected.
Yeah, I think Cody Bellinger is like the logical guy who slots in at the top of the NL, the NL MVP race. And he's just been really good all season. I know it would have been almost impossible for him to keep up like what he was doing in the beginning of the season, but he shouldn't be discounted for like being human at some point in the season. Anthony Rendon, yeah, I think he's another guy who maybe a little bit more of a long shot. He's got a career high 34 home runs last time I checked, batting .333. Like, another player who you have to move just a little bit down the list to get to him, but when you do, you're like, oh yeah, like there's a really strong case there. So the NL MVP race, I would be very interested in, even though like I just tend to for some reason pay more attention to the American League. I don't know why that is, but the NL MVP race I think is the more interesting one, and I really don't even have like a decent guess or prediction of who's going to take that one.
The final 2 weeks of the regular season are happening. What main storyline are you focusing in on here in the last 2 weeks?
I think the only competitive division race left is what I'll be looking at, the Cubs and Cardinals, and then you know you can kind of throw the Brewers in there, even though a little bit more of a long shot, especially now that they're going to have Christian Yelich. But I mean, the Cardinals, they're 2.5 up right now. I know they won today, and I think the Cubs are playing or just getting ready to play tonight. But, you know, they've been kind of strong these last, like, 5 or 6 games the Cubs have and are sticking around. And sort of piggybacking off of the Cubs-Cardinals race here for the division title, I mean, I'll be interested to see, like, what does Joe Madden have to do to keep his job? What do the Cubs have to achieve for him to keep his job? I know that's something that Cubs fans are really interested in. I mean, I don't have a horse in that race at all, and I don't even think I can answer the question. But you know, it looks like even if they aren't able to come back and win the division, you know, there's still a good chance to take one of those wild card spots. Is that enough? I mean, I don't know. Ultimately, it's not up to me to decide. So the NL Central race and the consequences of what happens is what I'll be paying attention to.
Yeah, absolutely. The Cubs bats, John, we were at Purdue this weekend. The Cubs bats lit up this weekend against the Pirates. I think it was 17 runs one game and 14 another game. And, I think it's going to be interesting these final 2 weeks. The Cubs Brewers, I think it came down last year, the Cubs Brewers as well. They had a tiebreaker game, I think, for the division. And then the wild card, right? The Cubs lost the wild card game, I think it was, for that. So you got to think that's going to be creeping in their mind. But, yeah, Joe Madden, what does he got to do? I think he at least go to the NLCS to keep his job, which is crazy to think because I think he's a great manager.
Yeah, I mean, the success he had, I would think, kind of speaks for itself. And but just, like, paying attention to Cubs fans, you know, where we are in Indiana, like, we just naturally have a lot of Cubs people around us. I think you're right that he needs, like, some sort of playoff push in order to keep his job, not necessarily just getting there. I'm not sure that'll do it.
Yankees have a chance tonight to clinch the division. They're going to be starting here momentarily. Tyler, what has happened with – I've noticed at the beginning of the season, everybody was talking how great this bullpen is for the Yankees and how unstoppable it's going to be once it gets into late September, October baseball. And then in August, something happened, and their bullpen has just kind of fallen apart in different games I've seen.
I mean, Luis Severino just came back. Maybe that gives him a little bit of a bump. I mean, I'm not sure if he'll be able to, like, throw 100 pitches at all this season into the postseason. CC Sabathia has been out. I think he's just not coming back. It's it's been one of those things where the Yankees have been able to rely on, like, a powerful offense and a large lead in the division. And then, I mean, we can't act like the pitching staff and the bullpen have been bad. I mean, they've patched some things together, and it looks like that's what they're going to do in the postseason. Aaron Boone was just saying the other day that they're going to piggyback their starters, basically making sure that no one is out there for too long and no batter goes through the same pitcher, you know, three times. You sort of see the same concept with the quote-unquote the reliever who's coming in to throw like an inning or two, and then they're handing it over to the starter. I think it's gonna work fine for them. Like I said, they've got that offense to kind of lean on, and getting a little untraditional in October in the playoffs is not like that's uncommon. So I wouldn't be too worried about it, even though you're right. I mean, there are some things that you could look at, and it makes you raise an eyebrow, but I think they've got the pieces there. And like I said, with Severino coming back, you know, he's there. To what extent, we don't really know, but the bottom line is he's there, and he's good. He looked good in his game against the Angels, and I understand it's the Angels, and they don't have that many players left, period. It seems like everybody's injured, but he looked good, and hopefully that's something that they can rely on.
Are we still looking at likely a Yankees Astros ALCS, or is there a dark horse team you think that could?
I think the only team that would really have a shot at that is like maybe the Twins. I don't know. I think it's a Yankees Astros ALCS that. All but set in stone for me. I'm not sure who would come up and beat one of those teams.
Mm-hmm. Okay. John, what do you got?
Do the Indians have enough pitching to carry through it like a series?
I don't see it happening. I think you've got to be a little more well-rounded to make it through the playoff run. I just don't see it. I haven't been very impressed. I've been more impressed with the Twins than I have the Indians, and obviously the Twins are up in the AL Central.
Yeah, I know that race has kind of went back and forth all summer. The Twins are up, and then the Indians made a big run, and you thought they were going to overtake them and keep it, and then the Twins have battled back. You know, I'm a Reds fan, so it's kind of been over for us since early in the season. But, yeah, it's the Indians. You know, they made the trade for Puig. They got rid of Trevor Bauer to the Cincinnati, which I was kind of questioning that. I thought they would still keep Bauer with the longevity that he's been in Cleveland. Plus, you know, if you're going to try to get arms for the postseason, because that's what everybody wants to do is load up on arms. And they just kind of dealt him away.
Yeah, it seems like some people were maybe expecting the Yankees to draft Trevor Bauer, since they were in a position where they needed arms, or at least everybody was telling them they needed arms. But for the Indians to do that, I think a lot of people saw that as not bowing out of the race, but saying, you know, this may not be the time to go all in on something.
Last question I have on baseball for you. Nationals, Cubs, and Brewers. I mean, the Mets are 3.5 back, but they just won a few minutes ago. Mets or Cubs, Nationals, and Brewers, two get in, one gets out. Who's out? Who's left out dancing?
I think the Brewers are probably left out. I just don't have enough faith in that team without Christian Yelich to make that kind of push. So I would take the Cubs and Nationals.
Okay. John, what do you got?
I like to shift over to a little Big Ten football.
It was a bad week.
It was a very interesting week. I mean, football is football, and I love football. Yeah. If you were, like, really pulling for the Big Ten, it was not a very good week.
Okay. Well, I like to put last week behind us. And going into this week, Michigan has Wisconsin.
Underdog Michigan. That's crazy.
This is a big game for Michigan. They got to win it.
They do, and they have to win it in order to, like, give themselves a little bit of margin of error going forward in the Big Ten. It's not like an existential have to win, you know, or else Jim Harbaugh is, like, on the hot seat or something. It's more just like, good teams can go on the road and beat other good teams. So far, Michigan hasn't done that, not only under Jim Harbaugh, but just, like, dating back many years. I think the last time Michigan beat a team as an underdog was, like, 2013. And might be the last time they beat an underdog on the road, but it was Northwestern. And we're talking, this has been a long, long process of just trying to, like, overcome, you know, what the odds makers say you probably won't. And so that's why I have very little faith that Michigan will beat Wisconsin. But it would be just like a stamp of a win, not only for this season, but then you could sort of move on from that lure of being an underdog and not being able to win.
Okay. What was your thoughts, Tyler, on the Army Michigan game that kind of put everybody on the edge out there in Ann Arbor?
Holy crap! Well, first of all, I know, like, everyone wants to go to the offense and wonder what the heck is happening, and that's my impulse too. But the defense really held up, and I think held Army to, like, its lowest yards per carry rate and, like, two or three seasons. It was a really good performance. Obviously, without it, Army definitely loves that game. I mean, they probably should have won it anyway. But, you know, the offense, man, like, I don't know. It's a total mystery. And that game made me so, so nervous. I was on the ground. I got rug burned in my helmet. I fell to my knees, I think, when that field goal wasn't good, or maybe the fumble to end the game. I fell to my knees and I got leg done. That's how you know it's serious. And so I was incredibly nervous. Just felt so lucky to get out of there and do 2-0.
Do we see a quarterback change before the end of the season and Dylan McCaffrey be the starting quarterback?
No. It would have to be an injury. Something that's not related to play. I think Shea Patterson, he said basically he was facing, like, a little bit of a mental barrier, not being totally healthy, and he had, like, an oblique injury or something like that he suffered in the first week of the season. And so I think he'll be fine at quarterback. Probably will get back to what we sort of all expected from a guy like Shea Patterson and this up-tempo spread offense. So no quarterback change.
Okay. The Big Ten West going into this season was a conference that everybody thought these teams were going to be up this year, was going to be very competitive, and to watch out for them. I mean, we have a Nebraska team losing to Colorado. We've got Purdue getting beaten by Nevada and getting thumped by TCU. We've got Minnesota just barely beaten. I can't even think of the team they just played Saturday. How much do we have to knock down this Big Ten West division?
I mean, we've been doing it since the Big Ten West was created. It's been Wisconsin and occasionally Iowa. And it's like the same thing this year. Nebraska occasionally will creep into the conversation. But until something changes, I mean, it's Wisconsin steamrolling every team in the Big Ten West on their way to Indianapolis, where you know, they play Ohio State or Penn State. That's how it goes in the Big Ten. And then you look at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's obviously a really good team. They're just, like, by far the best team in the Big Ten West. And you guys were at Purdue, weren't you, for the TCU game?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. I can't think of a time I saw a team like struggle that much to just run the ball. That was incredible. I don't know, because they're in the Big Ten West, they're going to be able to, like, best case scenario, if they run the ball 50 times a game, you know, they probably can get up to like third place. But that's only because they're in the Big Ten West. I feel like they're just not talented enough at quarterback, and they don't have enough weapons on the outside to be able to pull that off in really any other division. You know, maybe in the thing headed over to like the ACC, it might be similar. But that's just not going to fly for them. They'll need to figure out how to run the ball, even if it's just something that the team has to respect, and they run it for 45 yards a game. It's got to be something.
Yeah. My last one I've got regarding Michigan football, the fans up in Ann Arbor, if there's a panic, not a panic, a nervous meter from 1 to 10, 1 being less nervous to 10 being very nervous, how nervous are they for this Ohio State matchup at the end of the season now, the way Ohio State's playing?
Oh, I mean, it's been 8, 9, 10. It's up there because, yeah, Ohio State has looked really, really good. Like, you know, basically Ohio State and Wisconsin are the only Big Ten teams to not have a little slip up. It's not cost every team a win. You know, we see that with Michigan. I mean, they slipped up against Army, but still won. Ohio State has not slipped up, period. They ran all over Indiana and looked really good. They've looked really good in all three of their games. So it's all the way up there on the nervous scale because of that, and also because it's a total mind game at this point. I mean, Michigan, for younger fans, I'm 24, and I have to go back. I have to dig into the memory bank to get into the last time Michigan beat Ohio State. The last time Michigan beat Ohio State, 2011, Ohio State didn't have a permanent head coach. Luke Fickell was the interim head coach. So you have to go back even farther to look at, like, a legitimate Ohio State team that Michigan beat. So the nervous scale is turned all the way up for two reasons. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And I know John's question with Harbaugh, the hot seat that John put on.
Yeah.
Actually, John put the hot seat on him last season, last year on a radio show, and said that this was the year he needed to get all these wins. Now, if Michigan runs the table until Ohio State game and then they get beat, is that enough still to get rid of Harbaugh, or are they still going to go with him, you think?
No, you go with him. If Michigan's 11-0 and then loses to Ohio State, first of all, in that scenario, there's an okay chance that Michigan goes to the Big Ten championship game, because I know Ohio State looks really good, but the competition level hasn't been the greatest, and so, you know, who knows what they'll look against, like, Penn State or I'm not sure who their crossover games are in the Big Ten West, but certainly a chance that they could slip up at least once, too. So absolutely not. 11-0, lose to Ohio State. You can go on and lose the Big Ten championship game if that's what it comes to, and then lose your bowl game, and he's fine. He's not going to be fired for that.
Okay. John?
All right. The only other thing I got really on the football tip is that how do you view Ohio State? How do you view, like, what they put out on the field? I don't want Michigan to, like, overlook. They have a very big emotional game this weekend, and they also got Notre Dame coming down the pipeline as well. So again, that'll be something that we all talk about as well. But when you look at it as that opponent, that you know, because again, even if they lose, I mean, even if they lose Notre Dame, and I don't perceive them doing. I think that'd be. That'd be a good tight game, but beating Ohio State would be a special, right? So, but how do you? I think that team looks real good. How do you view that team?
How do you beat Ohio State?
Not necessarily how you beat them, but I think Ohio State's probably one of the top three teams. They should be able to get to the championship game this year.
Okay, so were you asking how I view Ohio State?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
How do you view
Ohio? Okay. I mean, I envy Ohio State because what happens is, like, no matter what change comes, you know, there, I think, was it 2016? That was the year that everyone was talking about this. They had a bunch of young guys on defense, and, like, who knows what it was going to look like. They all went pretty well, and then they lose their head coach and starting quarterback going into this season, and looking pretty good. And Justin Fields is the Georgia transfer. He's, you know, a Heisman contender now, as this was, you know, expected, at least at this point in the season. But the bottom line is, like, they just never seem to take a step back, no matter what changes. And that's got to be a testament to just the foundation, the culture of the program, the fact that, you know, there can be so many moving pieces, but you keep winning and you play at a high level, and you're the envy of basically every Big Ten team, except maybe Wisconsin, but that might be because, as we just talked about, Wisconsin doesn't have much of a problem winning this division and getting to Indianapolis. So I'm totally jealous of Ohio State. I think they're constantly just one of the best teams, not only in the Big Ten, but in the country. There's a reason for that, and I can only hope that Michigan gets there at some point.
Okay. I didn't mean, man, listen, they asked me a couple shows ago, man, what did I think about the New England Patriots, man? Having respect for one's rivalries or enemies is a blessing. It's a great attribute to have. I'm just really picking with you, man. I know Ohio State is a key rival, king rival of Michigan, and like I said, that team looks real awesome. But I think Michigan's defense looks real good. They, like, kind of like you alluded to, their offense, they gotta get consistency there for sure. But Tyler, we don't want to keep you too long because I know you got deadlines to make. Is there anything without spoiling too much? Is there anything particularly you're working on from the sports tip that we might be able to see in the quarter?
You know, we're doing our Colts profiles right now. We got one going every other week. I just did one. I think you shared it. Mo Alley-Cox, I appreciate that. Mo Alley-Cox,
yep,
is a character. I had no idea. I mean, first of all, I'm not very tall. I'm like 5'8". Mo Alley-Cox is up there at like 6'5", 6'6", or something. He might even be 6'7". Just a really funny dude. But we have those Colts profiles going every other week until it was like into December, I think. So that'll be the bulk of our sports coverage.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, we'll definitely be sharing that on our Facebook page, letting those folks, you know, so Colts fans come on, and because there's plenty of them that listen to the show, they can read some of your work, read some of the player profiles for sure. We won't keep you any further, man. We appreciate you coming on, and we're going to be even more ecstatic to even have you on even in the upcoming week. So great.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tyler. We'll see you in a couple weeks, and pretty much right as baseball postseason is getting ready to start.
Heck yeah. It's the best time to join.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tyler. Everybody check him out on Indianapolis Recorder. Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you.
All right, John, that was Tyler Fenwick, Indianapolis Recorder staffer, not columnist.
Staff writer. Not columnist.
Staff writer. Staff writer.
Yeah,
made
the founder. He's the founder of information, is he not?
He is. I kept going, John. You told me to prep for baseball, and I know my baseball, so I went prep city. I figured it was gonna be me and him, kind of tossing and turning back and forth.
Yeah, I thought we had a good. He had some good takes on baseball. Some realistic takes, not necessarily from a fan side, not necessarily from a gambler side, but some real good takes on baseball. Like I said, I appreciate Tyler coming on, and like I said, we're going to have him on talking more baseball and anything, really, because Tyler knows more than just baseball, so I'm glad he came on.
Yeah, and, man, for him to put up with you, being a Michigan fan, and you asking him all these Ohio State questions, that takes a lot.
Hey, you got to respect your enemies, man. You know what I'm saying? Respect your enemies, man. You'd be a better person.
That's right. John, anything else do you have this evening? I know I don't have much. It was going to be a short show this evening, about an hour, because we did an hour last
right.
night for our Facebook
right.
peeps. So Anything else to end the show with?
No, I don't. I appreciate everybody calling in, Sweet Lou. Of course, you know, our previous call-in, Tyler. Thanks everybody for supporting. Thanks everybody for sharing. You know what I'm saying? As the sports world keeps turning, we'll keep on reporting.
Absolutely. Take care, everyone.
Crossroads Sports.